And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Taking You to School. This is your host, Kel Tate, from RoundBallDaily.com. That's R-O-U-N-D, BallDaily.com. And Joe Perrello and Jeremy Collin could not join us today, so it's just going to be me taking you through 1 hour on one of the greatest sports days of the year on the sporting calendar. As you look at March Madness, and we've already had some terrific games that have gone off. Ohio State just beating Iowa State in one of the best games of the tournament so far on an Aaron Kraft game winner. That was a terrific game. Maybe a controversial call, too, at the end of the game with the block charge call on Will Clyburn taking the ball to the basket. Thought it could have been called a block. It was actually called a charge. And Ohio State survives in that game, the number two seed surviving to move on to the Sweet 16, defeating 10th seed Iowa State by a final score of 78-75 on Aaron Kraft's jumper. And such a terrific shot, such a terrific play in a tournament filled with terrific plays so far. Of course, Florida Gulf Coast with the shocking upset. Got to be the biggest upset so far in this tournament by far. Obviously, a 15 seed winning. And now we've had three 15 seeds in the past 2 years winning and reaching the second round. None of them have advanced to the Sweet 16. We'll see if Florida Gulf Coast can do that tonight starting at 7 o'clock. When they'll be taking on seven-seeded San Diego State, which beat Oklahoma to get to the second round here in the tournament. Of course, we're calling it the third round now, which makes not much sense, but that's a discussion for another day. Coming up next, we got Temple in Indiana, which will be coming up at on CBS at 3:06 p.m. is the official start time for that game. We've got North Carolina and Kansas, and we'll be with you until 4 p.m. here on RS Sports Radio. If you want to call in and if you have a question about anything that's going on, obviously, I'd love to take you through it, and obviously would love to give you my opinion. So if you want to call in, the number is 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. Looking forward to this next matchup here with Indiana and Temple. Should be an outstanding game. Obviously, Indiana, one of the most complete teams in the country when you look at what they have. Cody Zeller, Victor Oladipo, some of the players, obviously, that Indiana has. Probably the team right now that people would say is a favorite to win the championship, although you do have Louisville as well out there, been playing great basketball in that Midwest region. So Indiana, obviously, probably either the favorite or the team that you would say would be matching up with Louisville in that national championship game at this point. Obviously, Ohio State looks great out in the West bracket right now. When you look at that bracket, it's just been completely decimated right now. As you look at Wichita State last night, upsetting Gonzaga in a thrilling game, obviously coming right down to the wire with Wichita State winning that one. And the shocker, shocking Gonzaga, the 9 seed out there in that West region. And I think for Gonzaga, obviously a lot of people thought that this was the year, this was the time for them to reach that Final Four, something they've never done as a mid-major program, something that they've strived to do ever since they made that first run in 1999, losing to UConn in the Elite Eight, beating Florida and going on that huge run that they had there. So that was really when they became part of the national consciousness in college basketball. And now, obviously, this year was such a huge year for them. When you look at what they accomplished, they got to the number one ranking in the country for the first time ever, number one seed for the first time ever. I know Mark Few talked about it with reference because he really felt like this team that Gonzaga has this year was probably the best team that they've had. And I think if you look at some of the other Gonzaga teams, obviously there's been some pros on the team. Obviously that team with Adam Morrison back in 2006 was a terrific team, probably the team that I would say is their best team when you look at the fact that year that they just got beat by UCLA, had the game. I think they were a 3 seed in that Sweet 16, that memorable game where Gus Johnson lost his mind when J.P. Batista caught the ball at the other end of the court there. Batista threw it away after an inbounds play in that game, late in the game, and obviously you had Adam Morrison crying on the court, the huge part where they just completely fell apart in that game. So I thought that team obviously could have been the best Gonzaga team, but this team, you look at what they've got, you look at the fact that they have Kelly Olynyk, Elias Harris, who's a senior, Kevin Tangos, who can knock down big shots. Obviously David Stockton was a big player for them, earning his way in the starting point guard role and doing what he did this year. I thought they had a great season, going 30-2. You know, it's not easy to beat St. Mary's 3 times, even though a lot of people criticize their schedule, and obviously they didn't have a great schedule. But when you look at the fact that they beat St. Mary's 3 times, they beat the teams they were supposed to beat, And I thought losing to Wichita State did not define them for their season. I thought they had such a great year beyond that. Maybe they didn't play the schedule that, you know, a lot of other teams played when you look at some of the teams that they defeated, losing to Illinois at home. They did beat Oklahoma State earlier in the year, beat Kansas State. I think they were something like 5-0 against the Big 12. So you look at that situation, I think you have to look at the fact that Gonzaga did play some teams and maybe early in the season, you know, not later in the season, which could have hurt them in the tournament, because when you go into the tournament having played 20 straight games against West Coast Conference opponents, obviously that's not going to get you ready for teams. Not that that had something to do with the fact that they came out sluggish against Southern, the Wichita State. These are teams that if they had beat them in the regular season, no one would have said that it was a huge win for them in the regular season. So I think, you know, people do make a little too much of that fact, a little too much of the fact that, yes, they did go 16-0 in conference, but they didn't beat anybody. But I think, you know, Gonzaga doesn't have to hang their head this year for what they did. I thought they did an outstanding job. And I think the next year is going to be big, because you look at Olynyk is coming back. He's only a junior. You look at their roster right here, and I'm pulling it up right now as we speak. Not too many seniors on this team. Elias Harris was actually the only one, along with Mike Hart, who did get some play last night, made a big play down the stretch for them to tip the ball out at the end against Wichita State. But those are the only two seniors on the team when you look at Harris and Mike Hart. Everyone else is coming back. Kevin Pangos is only a sophomore. Gary Bell is only a sophomore. Stockton and Olynyk are juniors. So you look at this team, they could be dangerous next year, certainly when you look at the fact that they have some players, have some guys that can come back and have this experience now of losing to Wichita State in the second round. I think that that's going to really be big for them next year, because they know what it feels like now to get beat as a favorite and really hurt when you talk about NCAA tournament time. And I think that pain will last for them next season. When you look at Wichita State, I thought it was an unbelievable effort by those guys. Some of the shots they made down the stretch were just unbelievable, with some of the threes that they pulled up from like 30 feet out with one of them as the shot clock was expiring. You look at the fact that Cleanthony Early had a pretty good game in there, really showed that he could play inside with a guy like Kelly Olynyk, and really showed that he has the opportunity to become one of the stars of this tournament, especially when you look at the fact in that West region, it's either going to be Wichita State, Mississippi, or LaSalle in the Elite Eight, which is really unheard of when you started. Who had those three teams at the beginning of the bracket going in? Obviously, they're busting everyone's bracket right now. So you look at that. I thought it was great. You look at Greg Marshall, the head coach of Wichita State. I thought it was awesome before the game when he was talking to his team in the locker room. He was saying that going through the matchups of who was going to have who was going to take who in the game. You look at Tequil Cotton, who's this shooting guard. He was going to take Kevin Pangos, and Greg Marshall said, that's going to be an interesting night for Pangos. He really had the confidence in Cotton that he could guard him, had the confidence in him that he could really get the job done against Pangos, who's one of the better guards in the country, especially clutch wise for Gonzaga. And he really did do a good job, did Cotton on him. So you look at that, and I think some of the other guys who are going to be big names in this tournament, Carl Hall, who said a really interesting story for Wichita State. I had a heart issue. The doctors had said that he couldn't play, and he actually took 2 years off from basketball. He was working at a department store in his hometown, had gone back home, living with his mother, fell into depression, as you can imagine, something so dear from him as basketball being taken away. And now he's being able to come back and get the opportunity to play for Wichita State. He's a senior. He's 23 years old. And he's really just one of the inspirational stories of this tournament, being able to do what he loves. The fact that he's still playing for this Wichita State team, the fact that he's one of their best players as well, when you look at the fact during the course of the season, he averaged 12.5 points per game, 7 rebounds, and he really had a great game against Gonzaga last night. So I think Wichita State is certainly a great team, great story in this tournament. 2006 also, they made the run to the Sweet 16, but that was the last time that they were there. The Missouri Valley Conference is certainly showing that that conference has enough and has the quality and depth of teams that we all thought that they maybe did, one of the better mid-major leagues in the country. So Wichita State will be moving on to the Sweet 16. They'll be joined by, obviously, as I said, Ole Miss or LaSalle. That game will be coming up later tonight. I think that's a 7 o'clock tip in that one, and that game is going to be really interesting as well when you look at Marshall Henderson and what he's done. He had a terrible shooting game against Wisconsin in the first round of the tournament, but was still able to come back and Ole Miss was able to get the win anyway. And he's really like a machine gun. It's machine gun Marshall, basically, when you look at him, because he just puts shots up. I think he shoots about 36% from the field, but still unbelievable when you look at the free reign he has. He has the neon green light, I think, as Charles Barkley said, and his coach Andy Kennedy gives him that light. And I think it does help Ole Miss. I think the fact that his teammates have such confidence in him, he has such confidence in himself going down the stretch in games, I think it really gives them a lift and really the emotional leader for them. He does. Obviously, people aren't going to like his antics, the fact that he does that stupid chicken head thing, which he thinks looks like a shark for some reason. I'm not really sure why, but the fact that he's doing the gator chop at the end of the SEC championship game, I think that was a little ridiculous as well. Thought he was going to go off against Wisconsin and do something stupid, but it didn't happen in that game. Thankfully, he was able to restrain himself. But Marshall Henderson, the big reason why Ole Miss is in this second round, even though he didn't have a great game in that first one. And then you look at LaSalle. LaSalle has got some players, folks. You take a look at what they've been able to do for the first time, really, since about Bill Raftery was there. Maybe Lionel Simmons in the 80s, but Bill Raftery, when he was a player for LaSalle. And you take a look at them. I think they've had a great run here, really coming out of nowhere, out of that first four. Almost reminds you a little bit of what VCU did a few years ago, of course, reaching the Final Four out of that first four to Final Four, which was an incredible run. And LaSalle obviously beating Boise State, then getting on a plane from Dayton, Ohio, getting on a plane from Dayton and going there to Kansas City to take on Kansas State, which was an arena completely filled. It was almost all purple in there, purple and white, and obviously some Jayhawk blue as Kansas was playing as well. But LaSalle, for them to be able to win in that environment was just a really impressive win. And I think you look at some of their players, obviously Ramon Galloway, who's been pretty good in this tournament. You look at him, the leading scorer for LaSalle, averaging 17.5 points per game. I think he's done a great job in these two wins. Two close games. He had 19 in the Kansas State win, which is 63-61. But I think the big guy down the stretch, and I think the key for LaSalle as they move forward in this NCAA tournament is going to be their big men. And I think specifically for LaSalle, I think it's going to be the fact that it's got to be Jarrell Wright. I think the 6'8 guy, sophomore from Philadelphia, he's got to be the guy that makes it happen. He averaged 10.5 points per game this year, nearly 11 points, 7 rebounds per game this year. He was huge against Kansas State. He came up absolutely large when you talk about Jordan Henriquez inside. He was able to guard him. He had the perfect game from the field. He was 6-for-6 from the field and 9-for-10 from the free throw line in that game. Almost pulled a Christian Laettner in the game against Duke in 91. He scored 21 points. He had 8 rebounds. He's one of the stars, really, for LaSalle in that game. And I think the reason why they advanced past Kansas State and the reason why I think they're going to advance past Ole Miss in this game. I think they're going to beat Ole Miss. I think they've got too many weapons for Ole Miss. I think you look at LaSalle this season, they've been underrated all season long. The fact that they beat Butler at home, they beat VCU in Richmond. They have some other quality wins, a loss to Miami in which they were respectable down there in Miami. They beat Villanova, obviously, earlier in the year. So I think LaSalle, certainly the fact that they're able to maybe make Ole Miss play a little bit of the style that they don't want to play, pressure them a little bit. I know Ole Miss likes to shoot a lot. I know Marshall Henderson will be a machine gun, as he always is, in this game. But I think LaSalle can really make them uncomfortable, and I think that's my pick right here. I think LaSalle is going to upset Ole Miss. Not that it would really be an upset. It's a 13-12 game. But when you look at Ole Miss as well, you look at some of the guys that they're going to be counting on, and you look at obviously, Marshall Henderson, Holloway as well, is going to be a key factor in this ball game. And I think that LaSalle probably has a little bit too much for them when you look at the guards that they have as well with Galloway and company. So I'm going to pick LaSalle in that game. Arizona on the bottom half of that bracket beating Harvard yesterday, just completely dominating Harvard in that game. And they'll move on to take on Ohio State. So it's going to be unbelievable, really, the teams that are left in that bracket, Wichita State, Ole Miss, LaSalle, Arizona, and Ohio State. One of those teams will be moving on to the Final Four. Amazing, really, when you think about it. You take a look now, Indiana and Temple in the East right now. We've got Indiana, obviously the team that everyone expects to to reach the Final Four out of that bracket. But I really like the way Syracuse has been playing in that bracket, and I think if Indiana gets past Temple, it's 5-4 right now in the early going here with 15:29 left to play in the first half as we speak. But I think if Indiana is able to get past Temple, I think that Syracuse game could be a key point in which they might go down in that game, because you look at Syracuse's length, you look at the fact that they've got guys all over the court. They're going to force Indiana to shoot jump shots, and anytime you're forcing the higher-ranked team to take three-pointers and jump shots in that position, maybe forcing them to knock them down. Obviously, if they're able to knock them down, I think they've got a chance, obviously, to win the game. But if they're not able to, it gives Syracuse the advantage. And I think Syracuse has played so well early in this tournament. When you look at their win over Montana, they completely dominated in that game, absolutely destroyed Montana. It was almost disgusting, really, when you look at the fact it was like 83-29 at one point. It was completely ridiculous. But the fact that they just completely overwhelmed Montana was a bad matchup for Montana anyway. But then they really did a great job against Cal of winning an ugly game, which I think was important for them as well. They won a game in which, you know, they didn't really shoot the ball very well, took a lot of free throws, missed a lot of free throws. Cal missed a lot of free throws as well, and the Bears had a lot of chances down the stretch in which they really squandered and really had an opportunity when you look at Alan Crabb in the end of that game, stepping on the out-of-bounds line in the corner, and that really was a huge possession for them. Cal threw it away another time down the stretch in that game, so that was obviously big for them in losing that one. So Syracuse survived, they escaped, they got past the Bears, they're in the Sweet 16, I think, for the fourth straight year, so they will be waiting for Indiana. And they've got the tournament experience as well, which is another huge thing. This Indiana team is good, and they had some experience last year in reaching the Sweet 16 and losing to Kentucky, winning a close game last year in the second round over VCU, which this game with Temple could very well be a close game as well. So I think Indiana does not, though, have the experience. When you look at going 2 years ago, this team was not a team that was considered a threat 2 seasons ago, not a team really that was going to do anything in the NCAA tournament. So I think this Indiana team could be interesting to see. I know Syracuse has a lot of young players as well. When you talk about Michael Carter-Williams, you talk about James Sutherland, from three-point range, it's going to be up to him if he can make some shots like he did in that Big East tournament. So I think Syracuse has a great chance to beat Indiana. I would pick it in my bracket right now, but I think if Indiana is able to get past Temple, I had Syracuse advancing to the Elite Eight, and I still think they will. So I think that's going to be the matchup in the East. And then you look at the bottom half of that bracket, what a game between Butler and Marquette. Just an outstanding game. You figured Butler in that type of a game usually going to be able to win because they've had so much experience in close games. And Marquette getting past, they won their first two rounds by a combined 3 points. Incredibly, Marquette is still alive after all of that. Just an incredible performance. Buzz Williams coaching down the stretch, doing a great job. I know Marquette threw the ball away and really basically the exact opposite of what happened against Davidson, because Davidson threw the ball away and gave Marquette a chance to get back into that game in the second round, in the first round game, I should say. So Marquette really getting a bounce that went their way against Davidson, and then giving it right back against Butler in the second round, in the third round, as they actually call it, in the NCAA tournament. Getting so confusing now, but Marquette advancing to the Sweet 16 as a 3 seed, and I thought that was a huge win for them. Obviously, early in the season, they played Butler and lost on a game-winning three-pointer from near half court from Rodney Clark, which was an incredible shot, losing by one in that game. And Marquette, clearly, you know, that was a toss-up game. Both teams have similar amount of talent. I thought Marquette a little bit smaller than Butler, especially when you look inside at Andrew Smith, the seven-footer for the Bulldogs. Devontae Gardner really showed me something in the game. He really played extremely well. He was lumbering down the court, fast on his feet for a big guy. He was making passes and throwing he looked like Magic Johnson out there for a second almost, but not quite, but still Marquette advancing to the Sweet 16, and they'll take on the winner of Illinois and Miami, and I think that's going to be a really interesting game. I think Shane Larkin, obviously, for the Hurricanes, makes them go. I think any nerves that Miami possibly could have shown in the first round were completely taken away. They just absolutely dump truck Pacific, absolutely just destroyed them, and rightfully so, because they have so much more talent than Pacific does. They got a great tournament coach when you look at Jim Larrañaga. He's done a fantastic job down there in Coral Gables, and they'll be taking on Illinois in the second round matchup, which I think is an interesting game. I think you look at this game, I think Brandon Paul obviously is the key guy for Illinois. I think they've got some size inside to maybe match up with Miami. I know Miami's got Reggie Johnson and some bulk down there, down low. But Illinois's got Griffey inside, Tyler Griffey. They're hardened by that Big Ten schedule, really played a rugged schedule down the stretch. They won some big games, beat Minnesota in the first round of the tournament. Obviously, the win over Colorado, they kind of dominated Colorado at points in that game, really made it tough on the Buffaloes to score. So I think it could be interesting. I think this game could be a really close ball game. I think at the beginning of the season, you probably would have said, you know, early on in the season that Illinois would be the favorite in this game with the talent that they do have. But Miami obviously coming together the way that they have, the fact that they have such a great coach in Larrañaga. So I think it's going to be a really interesting game. I think Miami probably will pull it out just because of the fact that I think they do have more depth than Illinois does. But I think, you know, you reach this point in the tournament here and almost in the Sweet 16, really anybody could lose to anybody. Anything could happen. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in that bracket, as you've got Indiana, you've got Temple, Syracuse, Marquette, Illinois, and Miami still remaining out of the East region. And I think it should be really interesting to see what happens down the stretch. You go to the South now, and obviously top-seeded Kansas getting ready to take on North Carolina. That game will be coming up just after 5, and that's going to be a really interesting game, probably the most interesting game, I think, for me, of this second round here and of this of these games today, because you look at Kansas, obviously so much talent. North Carolina could probably match up with them athletically, but Kansas has so many guys. When you look at Jeff Withey inside, you look at obviously Ben McLemore, who's been Player of the Year candidate in the Big 12. Didn't win it, actually had Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State beat him out for both Player of the Year and Freshman of the Year, obviously, but I think those two guys probably the two best players in that Big 12 this season. In Kansas, they had one bad week in February, from February 2nd to the 9th, lost three straight games, lost to Oklahoma State at home, lost at TCU, and lost at Oklahoma. Other than that, they've been an unbelievable 30-2 on the season. So other than those three games, they've been absolutely unbelievable. They did struggle in the first round against Western Kentucky, only coming up with a 64-57 win. That game was really close. Western Kentucky actually led at halftime, and Kansas had to pull away. They only went up by double digits, I think, with about 2 minutes left in the game. So I think Kansas obviously did not play its best game in the game against Western Kentucky. I think they're going to have to play a lot better than that to beat Carolina, although Carolina really struggled against Villanova. They got up to a 30-15 lead. Looked like they were going to cruise into the third round game against Kansas and really just kind of struggled after that. Really were not able to make shots, really let Villanova go on too much of a run. Ryan Archie Diacono, Darren Hillard, those guys got them going a little bit, and North Carolina made a game out of it, maybe a little bit more than Villanova ended up making a game out of it. So I think this is going to be an interesting game, though. You look at what North Carolina has done down the stretch of their season and the fact that they've won a lot of games, reached the championship of the ACC tournament, losing to Miami. They really played well. You know, the loss to Duke earlier at home obviously was a big loss. Got blown out in that game. Other than that game, they really have played extremely well since really middle of February. They hadn't lost any games other than the one in the ACC championship to Miami. So I think that could be really interesting. Excuse me, and I think that's going to be one of the games that we are going to be taking a look at here later on today. We will be right back after this quick break on RF Sports Radio.
This number, 9.8. That's not the time on the shot clock or the seconds left in the game. It's not the number of times I will light you up. 9.8 isn't any of that. It's ounces. And that makes this the lightest ever.
Our job is to make you better, to make all athletes better. One great innovation at a time. Great athletic innovation isn't available just yet, but it's being built at Under Armour right now. I will.
You're listening to the RF Sports Radio Network, the Real Fan Sports Network. And if you're a real fan of sports, then you're a real fan of the NFL. Join me, Scott King, Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, where we cover the NFL from the draft through the Super Bowl and even fantasy football. So join the conversation Monday nights at 9 p.m. on RF Sports Radio.
And welcome back here on the RS Sports Radio. This is your host, Cal State, and this is Taking You to School, the best college basketball show on the web right now. And we've got a Twitter question kicking us off here on our second segment here. And that question is going to be, is Arizona the best team left in the West region? I think that's a really interesting question. I think they looked like the best team when they played Harvard, obviously just completely hammered Harvard in that game, but I do think Ohio State, probably the most well-rounded team still left in that West region. Obviously, Arizona, the sixth seed. I think Arizona's just a little too young at this point to be considered the best team in that region. I think Aaron Kraft really showed you why at the end of that Iowa State game, but I think it's going to be a really interesting game when Arizona takes on Ohio State in that Sweet 16. I think the winner clearly has the advantage over Wichita State, Ole Miss, and LaSalle, who are the other teams remaining in that region. So I think Arizona, probably the second-best team in that region. I do think the Buckeyes just a little bit better. Keep them coming on Twitter with RS Sports Radio questions. You can also call into the show at 323-927-2906. This is your host, Kel State, and we got about a half an hour left here. We got Temple in Indiana going on right now, and the Hoosiers leading 20-15 with about 9 minutes left to go in the first half of that one. That game obviously is in the East bracket, and the winner of that one will be taking on Syracuse in the Sweet 16, also Marquette, and the winner of Illinois and Miami, the remaining games in that East bracket. We're talking a little bit about Kansas and North Carolina before the break in that South region. I want to take you to the bottom of that South region where Minnesota upset UCLA, 20-point win, really looked dominant in that game, dominated them throughout. And what happened after that game? Well, I think UCLA kind of, not really acting the way that they should as a blue blood program. I think the Bruins firing Ben Howland, as multiple reports are saying today. Howland will be fired, and I think after 10 seasons, 3 Final Four appearances, I think that is probably one of the dumber moves that I've seen, really, for UCLA to fire their coach after just 10 seasons. With what he's done for that program, the fact that he's gotten big-time recruits, I really think it's a stupid move for UCLA, because who are you going to get in there right now that's going to do a better job than what Ben Howland has done? Who are you going to bring in right now that will get to 3 Final Fours in 10 years? I mean, if you're anybody, you'll take those odds, getting the 3 Final Fours, reaching the national championship game. I understand that the program has slid off a little bit, but that's because the kids that they had brought in had not been kids that really anybody would want to have on their team. When you look at Reeves Nelson and all the nonsense that he put forth, all the stuff that he was doing, really that the just era, the aura that permeated throughout Westwood. When you look at him and you look at a guy like Josh Smith, it was just ridiculous with what happened with UCLA. Players not practicing hard, getting in trouble with the law and stuff that was going on there. I don't think that was Ben Holland's fault. I think that was just a bad batch of kids, bad recruiting class there, and I think maybe the pressure to win maybe got them a little bit, maybe take a kid who has a little more trouble and a kid who obviously, you know, a program like a Duke wouldn't be taking, a program like a North Carolina wouldn't be taking, because they understand that they don't need that trouble on their roster. And I think there's a lot of pressure at UCLA. They haven't won a championship since 1995. I think it's just ridiculous, though, for them to fire a guy who's been the most successful coach, really, getting rid of Jim Herrick in that era back in 95, since John Wooden was there. Because you look at, obviously, what Steve Lavin did. He was not very successful. Jim Herrick won the championship in 95, but with all the NCAA violations that took place, really not really sure if you want to put him right next to John Wooden as far as the school's best coaches in history. So I think UCLA, I'm not really sure who they're going to go out and get. Not really sure what the candidates are for them at this point, but I do not think that it was a smart move for them to fire their coach. And we'll see how it works out for them. For now, Minnesota will be moving on to the Sweet 16, and we'll be moving on actually to the third round, and they'll be taking on Florida for the right to go to the Sweet 16. And that game will be coming up a little bit later today. And I think that game is an interesting matchup, especially when you look at Minnesota with the big guys that they have inside with Trevor and Mbakwe. They do have some good guards in the Hollins clan out there. I think that could be really interesting to see if they can make Kenny Boynton work, make the Florida guys work on the perimeter. I think they're a good defensive team. Came down the stretch of this season and really did not play well in the end of the Big Ten schedule. They lost to Nebraska. They lost to Purdue. But somehow they came in after losing to Illinois in the conference tournament and beat UCLA by 20. So I thought that was really interesting. Really the most surprising result for me of that first round in that South region, other than the Florida Gulf Coast win over Georgetown, because I really thought that UCLA was going to win that game. I thought Shabazz Muhammad was going to take over. And I really didn't think the fact that they had the injury, obviously, to Jordan Adams, I didn't think that that was going to affect them as much as it did, but it certainly affected them a lot, and I think Minnesota took advantage of that, and they'll be moving on, and we'll see what they can do against Florida. Should be an interesting game. I think the Gators probably still have the advantage. They've got the inside ability with Patrick Young down there. They've got some players who can really play down there. When you look also at the senior leadership with Kenny Boynton, I think he's been a great player for Florida his whole career, and I really like what he's been able to do. I think he's on a mission right now to get them back to the Final Four, get them to the Elite Eight, which they were in the previous years, never got over that hump to the Final Four, and I think that's what Boynton wants to do with this team this year. I think he's on a mission to do that this year. So it'll be Minnesota and Florida in the bottom half of the bracket in the South. And the other matchup will be Florida Gulf Coast taking on San Diego State, the 15 and the 7, for a right to go to the Sweet 16. And who would have ever thought Florida Gulf Coast and San Diego State for a right to go to the Sweet 16? Absolutely unbelievable. But that's March Madness for you right there. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see in that game. It should be a terrific game. I think San Diego State doesn't run away from teams anyway. So even if they were to get out to a big lead, which I don't think they will against Florida Gulf Coast, I think the Eagles probably have the firepower to hang in the game and probably stick around with them. So I think Florida Gulf Coast 24-10 this season, obviously, when you look at what they've done, no one expected them to beat Georgetown, and they just dominated Georgetown, particularly in that second half. They opened up a 50-33 lead. It was amazing what happened there in Philadelphia. Sherwood Brown, 24 points, 9 rebounds. He was absolutely outstanding in that game. And you saw that unbelievable dunk, which really shows you, I mean, how many times in the course of tournament history would you have a 15 seed being able to pull off that type of move from a team from Florida Gulf Coast to have that type of highlight play? That didn't happen in the past, and it's certainly happening now as the talent gap, I think, is much. I think there's a lot better players. I think there's a lot more good players in the tournament. I think there's a lot more good players in college basketball. But I think the fact that, the talent gap has definitely been closed a little bit. I think there's not as much talent on Georgetown as there used to be in past days when you look at NBA players all over the place on that type of a team, that type of a roster. Now you look at Georgetown, you're looking at Otto Porter, certainly one of the better players in the country. He's not going to be a star in the NBA. We know that he's not going to be, you know, he's not an Allen Iverson, he's not a Dikembe Mutombo, he's not an Alonzo Mourning, those type of guys that Georgetown's had in the past, Patrick Ewing, obviously. So, you know, you look at the fact that the talent gap has definitely come together a little bit more, and Florida Gulf Coast ends up beating Georgetown in a game that, you know, not even a close game, actually. I mean, Florida Gulf Coast completely dominated them. I understand, you know, they went on a 21-2 run in the second half. I understand they beat Miami early in the season, and they actually went on a similar run against Miami in that game when they knocked off the Hurricanes early in the season. But I think this team, really interesting to see what's going to happen. A 15 seed getting a chance to advance to the Sweet 16, and I think they've got a chance to pull the upset here again here in this second-round game. I think the fact that you know, San Diego State doesn't really scare you that much. I know Jamal Franklin, big guy, obviously can score. You know, I think he's probably the best player on San Diego State, probably the only guy on San Diego State that really scares Florida Gulf Coast. But I don't think that they have a chance right now to really explode and pull away from this game. So I think it's going to be really close. We've got another Twitter comment that has come in, and no way Ben Howland should have been fired from UCLA. I believe it. I agree with that. Absolutely no chance that he should have gotten fired. I think that was completely ridiculous. And we'll see what happens. We'll see if the Bruins can come up with a different coach. Don't know who they have in mind. Maybe they'll go after a Shaka Smart from VCU, someone like that. I'm not sure if Shaka Smart would want to live there, unless with the expectations and the pressure. I think he's done a great job at VCU. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if Brad Stevens is obviously always going to be a name that's going to be out there. I think he's kind of a wooden type with the way he likes to do things, the way he controls things. Maybe UCLA goes after him. Really not sure if he would leave Butler with what he's done, being able to get them into the Big East now for next year. He's basically a god there in Indiana and Indianapolis because of what he's been able to do with Butler. So I think that's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens with them. So those two games coming up, as you look at Minnesota and Florida and San Diego State and Florida Gulf Coast. A reminder, if you want to call into the show, the number is 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. Right now, we've got Indiana and Temple all knotted at 22. Got to love this. It's March Madness, baby. 5 minutes left here in the third-round game between Indiana and Temple. The winner, obviously, advancing to the Sweet 16 for a date with Syracuse. Haven't talked much about that Midwest region in the bracket. Louisville advancing to the Sweet 16 last night with a huge win over Colorado State, just completely dominated them after the beginning part of the game. Really early on, it was about 15-13, I think. Colorado State really looked like Colorado State was going to be able to play with them. I thought Dorian Green had done a great job early on of handling the pressure. I thought that the fact that Greg Smith, obviously inside, coming up with big plays down there, I thought Colton Iverson, you know, the size that he has, but Colorado State really just didn't have enough to handle Louisville. They were running all up and down on them and pressuring them all over the place. And I think Louisville clearly the more talented team, and they cruised past Colorado State in advance to the Sweet 16. We've got Oregon and St. Louis last night. Obviously, the Ducks hammering the Billikens last night. Jim Cruz did a phenomenal job with the Billikens all season long, but Oregon able to move past. And I think the disrespect, I really believe this. Right now, I'm not really sure if anyone else would agree with me or not on this point. I think Dana Altman has done a terrific job out there at Oregon, but I really believe that the fact that they are a 12 seed in this tournament is one of the major reasons why they're moving on to the Sweet 16, because you look at the chip that Oregon is playing with on its shoulder right now, unbelievable. When you look at Dominic Artis, some of those guys who have stepped up to them and made threes, you haven't even heard of him all year. One guy was shooting about 30-something percent from three. He's been absolutely outstanding over the course of this tournament. He's absolutely outstanding in the Pac-12 tournament for what he was able to do. And I think that's one of the main reasons that Oregon's moved on. I think the disrespect factor, kind of the Bill Simmons, nobody believes in us factor, I think that's really been a big reason why Oregon has made this run here, and I think a big reason why they completely dominated St. Louis, the pressure that they were able to put on St. Louis, the fact that St. Louis doesn't have that offensive explosiveness, that offensive firepower to keep them going, I think that was one of the main reasons why Oregon was able to advance. And I don't want to play Oregon right now. I don't think they have a shot, really, against Louisville, because I just think it's a bad matchup. But if you had an Indiana in that game, because I think Louisville's style, obviously, is too similar to Oregon. I think they do it better than Oregon. Both teams want to get out and run. Louisville wants to get out and run. And I think when you're a team like that and you don't have the talent that Louisville does have, I think it hurts you. And I think it's basically you're trying to play that game, the same game that Louisville's trying to play, and you just can't play it at the same level. So I think that's why the Cardinals have an advantage and probably will advance to the Elite Eight. But I think if Oregon was playing an Indiana, if they were playing a Kansas in that Sweet 16, I think it would be a very tough matchup for those teams because they're playing so well right now. And Charles Barkley said it, you know, the Pac-12, not enough respect this season with what they've been able to do. Oregon clearly was not a 12 seed. I think they were a much, much higher seed. I thought they should have got maybe a 7 seed. At the worst, you could say they should have gotten Colorado's position in that bracket, playing Illinois in that first round game, because they obviously had a better record in conference than Colorado did, won the Pac-12 championship in the tournament, and still somehow got a 12 seed. Didn't make any sense at all to them. So I think Oregon clearly advancing because of that, clearly felt the chip on their shoulder for that, and I think that that is one of the main reasons that they are one of the final four remaining in the Midwest region. Other games in that Midwest region, we're looking at Michigan State. Obviously, it will be Creighton and Duke, the final game going on, as we've got Louisville, Oregon, and Michigan State will take on the winner of Creighton and Duke, which will be coming up at, I think, a little bit past 9 tonight. The Creighton-Duke game should be really interesting to see because it's going to be interesting with Doug McDermott, one of the best players in the country. I think he's obviously a guy that can go off and might have an opportunity to, you know, give Duke some trouble in this game. I think Duke probably has the guys to defend him. When you look at inside, it's going to be tough for him to score on Mason Plumlee. It's going to be tough for him to get shots off when you take a look at some of the perimeter players if you put a guard on him. And I think that's what one of the guys said is one of the main reasons or one of the main ways to beat Doug McDermott is to put a guard on him. I know he's 6'8". But that will make it a little bit tougher for him to get around and be able to dribble on the perimeter, be able to move around and really work his way into the paint. I think obviously he can probably back down, but if you put a bigger guy on him, and I think Duke has plenty of guys when you look at even Seth Curry, just being a quick body to make him force to make a decision quickly, and I think that could be an interesting matchup. Creighton's got a lot of guys who really look similar. They got a lot of white guys who pretty much look exactly the same. It's going to be interesting to see if they can hang with Duke. They're going to have to make some shots. They're going to have to force the ball in there. Gregory Echenique is probably going to have to play the best game of his life because you look at what he's been able to do. I think he's 6'8", the Venezuelan, played on the Venezuelan national team. He's going to be going to have to be able to impose his will down low a little bit with Mason Plumlee, at least stand up to Mason Plumlee a little bit. But you look at the rest of the Creighton team, I think it's kind of a bad matchup for them. Not sure if they can get it done against Duke, but we'll see what happens tonight. And obviously we saw Wichita State out of the Missouri Valley make the Sweet 16, so I think it's clearly not out of the realm of possibility in what we've seen in this tournament so far to see Duke advance. And I think overall in this tournament we've seen some interesting upsets. We've seen some, you know, obviously you could call Florida Gulf Coast a major upset. I don't think we've seen that, you know, upset that blows the doors off you right now, that national championship contender who goes down. I think you could have thought Gonzaga maybe was a national championship contender, but no one really thought that they were one of the best teams in the country in terms of a lot of people had questioned whether or not they should have been a one seed. I think a lot of people would have put them on that two line. So I don't think anyone really had Gonzaga cutting the Nets down at the end of the season, at the end of this tournament. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see if a Temple right now, who's leading 26-24, first lead of the game for Temple, with 2:25 left to go in the first half of that game. I think it's going to be really tough for Indiana down the stretch of this one. Looks like they're in a dogfight. Probably they will pull out and come away with the win, but We have not seen that big time upset. Certainly Temple over Indiana would qualify as the biggest, I think, upset of the tournament so far. So it's going to be a really great tournament, I think, for the rest of it here. You take a look at what's been going on, and I think obviously we've pretty much covered all the matchups. If you have anything else to add here, give us a call, 323-927-2906. We got about 15 minutes left in the show here, and we're just going to be taking a look here at Indiana. And I think early on in this game, looks like Khalif Wyatt has been able to impose his will a little bit, maybe being able to get inside and score against Indiana. I think he's really the player who's going to have to come up big in the second half for Temple. He really does everything for Temple except for drive the bus over the arena. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Owls can get some help from everyone else. I think early in this game, what's going on is you'll see Ryan Hollis Jefferson, I think, has done a good job against Cody Zeller inside. I think the Temple's been able to hold their own inside, and you see a shot go up if you're watching right now. And Temple really doing a good job on the boards inside as well. So I think it's going to be interesting to see if they can compete. And in this second half, if they have the gas to compete with Indiana, if they can come up and maybe take this one, steal this one, and which would be, I think, the biggest upset so far in this tournament. I think tonight, the game with Illinois and Miami, as we discussed, I think could be an interesting game. And when you look at the schedule, as we're going to take a look quickly at the schedule for the rest of the games here today, and I think that this game, obviously, with Temple and Indiana, we got North Carolina, Kansas, which is the next one at 5:15, Minnesota and Florida at 6:10, Florida Gulf Coast and San Diego State at 7:10. Then you got 7:40, LaSalle and Ole Miss. That one's going to be on True TV. You got Illinois and Miami at 8:40, and 9:40 Eastern time. It's going to be Creighton and Duke, so that will round out the rest of the games for today. Out of all those games, I think the one I'm looking forward to the most is probably LaSalle and Ole Miss, because I really want to see the matchup. Marshall Henderson going up against Ramon Galloway. I think those are the two best players in those games, in that game. And I think that those two guys are going to be the guys that their team is going to lean on to see if they can reach the Sweet 16. I'm going to take you through one key to each of the matchups that is remaining here today. I think the key for Temple beating Indiana, I think it's going to be Khalif Wyatt. It's going to be how much can he do? Can he really take over and be the guy that, kind of like a guy in the past with Stephen Curry, kind of like a guy like that who's been able to win it by himself. I think Temple's got some players, but Wyatt averaging 20 points a game, he's going to probably have to have a big game like that, maybe a 25, 30-point scoring game for them to win this game. They're up 29-26 right now. So I think that's the key for Temple. For Indiana, it's going to be stopping him, and it's going to be, you know, getting an advantage inside. They do have that advantage with Christian Watford, Cody Zeller inside. I think they've got to use it. I think if they're able to do that, I think they're going to have a good chance of winning this game in the second half. They've really got to make sure that they slow the pace down a little bit. I think Temple likes to run. I think Temple probably, wants them to speed it up. I think they're thrilled right now having a 29-26 lead with 30 seconds to go in the first half here. I think they're absolutely thrilled about that, and thrilled about the pace so far as well. As it's, you look at 29-26, that's what some games have been with like 7 minutes left, because you've been so low scoring here in this tournament so far. But I think certainly those are the two keys in that game in the East region. Taking a look at North Carolina and Kansas, I think the key for North Carolina is going to be Jeff Whiffy. I think it's going to be whether or not they can score inside, whether or not they can neutralize him, whether or not he goes off and has a great game defensively, blocks a ton of shots in there. I think they've also got to look at Ben McLemore. I think he's going to be a huge key for Kansas. I think if he gets off, obviously being a freshman playing in one of his first NCAA tournament games, I think it's going to be huge for him. His second tournament game, obviously, in his career. First big one, really, although Western Kentucky put up such a huge fight that you might have said that that was the first big game for him. But you look at McLemore, I think he's going to be one of the keys for Kansas. I think for Kansas also, they're going to have to stop McAdoo on the drive. I think McLemore's matchup with McAdoo is going to be huge. in this game. Minnesota and Florida, I think, are the guards for Florida is the key to this matchup. I think Minnesota plays good enough defense. They did struggle down the stretch defensively against quick guards. I think Kenny Boynton, that's the key guy for them. If he can make everything go, I think Florida's got a good chance in this game to win this game because they do have the size inside to match up with Minnesota when you talk about Trevor and Bakwe and company down low. I think Florida has the size inside. I think they've got the guards. I think they've got the shooting ability. I think when you look at Wilbekin is back, I think you look at some of the other guys, Will you get as well for Florida coming back. And I think they're finally healthy at this point in the season, which is something that they haven't been able to say pretty much all season long since you get went out, I think it was in January, mid-January. So Florida's finally back and healthy. I think that's going to be the key for them. Florida Gulf Coast and San Diego State, I think the key to this matchup is going to be Jamal Franklin. I think whether or not he can get off for San Diego State, I think the pace also, Florida Gulf Coast wants to play at a high pace, and they've said they're just going to play their game. They're just going to do what they do. They're going to run. They're going to try to get steals. They're going to try to get deflections, get out, make layups. You know, Sherwood Brown is going to be a guy who's going to try to go off a little bit in the half-court setting. They're going to try to get out and score a lot of transition buckets. And I think San Diego State wants to do the exact opposite. I think they want to hold Florida Gulf Coast in, which could play in the Florida Gulf Coast favor because, you know, when you're able to slow that game down and you're able to make that game, you know, a 50 to 45 game instead of maybe, you know, a 60 or 70-point scoring game, you're able to really keep those teams in the game. And I think a 15 seed, if they're down only a few points at halftime, like what happened against Georgetown, you make one big run. You knew Georgetown wasn't going to blow you out unless they just played terrific defense because that's what they do. They slow the pace. They have that Princeton kind of style. San Diego State is much in the same way, and they're not even as good a team as Georgetown. So it could be really interesting to see what happens in Florida Gulf Coast. Do think San Diego State will pull away and win that game, but I think it's going to be interesting anyway to see what happens. LaSalle and Ole Miss, we've talked about it. Ramon Galloway, Marshall Henderson, those are the keys. I think the key is inside for LaSalle. If they can get some scoring out of Jarrell Wright, the sophomore, I think it's going to be really big for them. Dr. John Giannini, one of the better coaches that we're finally getting able to see here in the tournament now that he's on front stage. And I think LaSalle, I think they're going to advance to the Sweet 16. Illinois and Miami, I think that is going to be a really interesting game. Brandon Paul, Tyler Griffey, I think, are the keys for the Illini. I think Griffey inside is going to have a huge game against Miami. I think he's going to have to really do a great job in there neutralizing the used bigs when you take a look at the guys that they have. Reggie Johnson inside. I think the Canes certainly have enough probably to advance in this game. And I think Shane Larkin, obviously, probably the big key for Miami, probably the reason why Miami advances because he's just so good in the fact that he can knock down threes, he can make so many plays, and he doesn't play like a guy who's never been there before. And this whole team doesn't play like a team that was in the NIT last season. This team plays like a team that was expecting to be there. And their whole motto at Miami this season has been to make history or you'll be history. I think they're not going to be history after this game. I think they move on. They make history at Miami. First Sweet 16 appearance since 2000, and I think they pulled that off today. Creighton and Duke, I think the key for Creighton is going to be to slow down Duke. I think they've got to slow them down. I think they've got to keep the pressure off themselves. I think they've got to make this more of a half-court game because I think Duke is going to want to run out. Duke came out against Albany and just played terrific in that first part of the game. They were pressuring everywhere, did a great job. Their guards did a great job against Albany. When you take a look at Seth Curry coming right out of the gate and knocking down that big three to start things off, I think that really set the tone. And I think the first few minutes in this game for Creighton are going to be huge to see if they can come out and hang with them for a little bit. I think they will. I think that'll be a close game for a little while. And I think Creighton will hang around with them. I think Doug McDermott, obviously, is such a huge key for them. But they've got other guys. They've got Ashton Gibbs, who's a big player for them. You take a look at the rest of their roster. Obviously, Austin Chapman, the point guard, and Gregory Ashenik, who I think is going to be such a huge factor for them because I think he's got to be able to guard Mason Plumlee down low. So some great games coming up here, and I think we've gone through all the keys to all of them. Temple leading Indiana at halftime. which certainly could be the biggest upset so far in the NCAA tournament. I think because it is Indiana, I think Georgetown, Florida, Gulf Coast obviously would be the game that you would say another big upset, but Indiana clearly the team that a lot of people thought were going to take home the national title. They were my pick to take home the national title. And I think if Temple knocks them off, we've finally got some real, real madness in this bracket, as we will have two number one seeds having gone down. When you look at Gonzaga, obviously going out last night. Keys to this game so far, I think there's been a lot of keys. Khalif Wyatt, as I said, 20 points so far. Unbelievable performance from him. Somebody's got to get out of hand, maybe double them. They got to do something different in the second half because Tom Crean's got to be going crazy in the locker room at halftime here. They have Khalif Wyatt to go off for 20 of Temple's 29 points. 20 of 29, absolutely unbelievable what's happened so far. So you take a look at what's been happening in that game, and I think Indiana certainly with a chance still, only halftime, three-point game. I think Indiana comes out in the second half, and I think they do a great job of winning this game. And I think they will come back and take it, and I think it's going to be Indiana and Syracuse, which will be a great matchup in the Sweet 16. Thanks so much for listening. Just me here on this day, flying solo here. I'm taking you to school. Hopefully next week we will be back, as I know Joe Perella will probably be back next week, and we'll be back with Jeremy Conlin and the whole crew next time here on Taking You to School March Madness Edition. I'm Kels Dayton from RoundBallDaily.com. Enjoy the rest of the madness, everybody. We'll see you next time.